This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We're ranking second basemen. We're also talking draft strategy and setting the draft order for our Belly Up Fantasy Baseball League. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball.
Welcome in to today's edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show on this fine Sunday evening. The NFL is over. NASCAR got postponed till tomorrow. So why not talk baseball? And that's what we're here to do tonight. We are presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, Righteous Felon Jerky, and SeatGeek. I'm your host, Ben Stover, joined as I am pretty much every Sunday of the fantasy baseball year by the one and only senior fantasy writer for BellyUpFantasySports.com, Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing, man?
Man, you know, we're doing great over here, Vince, because we're past the Super Bowl now, and March Madness is about a month away. Spring training is underway. Position players reported today. And college baseball got underway yesterday. So baseball is open, and it's exciting to talk about. I'm real excited about this whole show right here. So I'm ready to get started.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So, you know, I'm catching clips and stuff on social media from the Brewers and from other baseball teams too. Different things going on. Of course, pitchers and catchers throwing for the last couple days, and now people showing up. I saw Milwaukee, they've got Sal Frelick, a stud, you know, young outfielder working at third base right now. So there's, you know, then you think fantasy stuff, you think, oh my goodness, there's guys that are going to be moving positions, maybe getting eligibility at other spots and the fun that brings as well. We'll talk about some of that more once we get to our second segment of the day. But we've got a lot going on today. So here in just a moment, we're going to set the draft order for our fantasy baseball league that we run through the show and have members of the Belly Up Network on with us during the draft and throughout the year. And we're going to set the order, and we're going to use that opportunity to talk about draft strategies depending on where you line up throughout the first round, and hopefully be a help to some people, at least get people thinking on some things as well. And that's what we're going to do in our first segment. It's a segment we like to call our Fantasy Burner. The Fantasy Burner is presented by SeatGeek. If you're getting tickets to an event of any kind, you need to check out SeatGeek.com. If you use the code BellyUpSports at checkout, you're going to get $20 off your very first purchase. So again, at SeatGeek.com, use that code BellyUpSports at checkout. So like I said, for our Fantasy Burner segment today, we are working on draft order and then draft strategies as well. And so what we have done is I have a list of all the team names, all the members' names in our league. Kevin has all the numbers in a hat. I need to actually grab a hat real quick.
Yep, I got my.
All right, so I've got my hat here.
It's my Ogden Raptors hat.
Nice. Okay?
Right from the Ogden Raptors. And I've got 10 numbers. There's just so you can see. There's number 6.
Okay.
And all right. So
hold it back up and put it in. There should be 10 numbers in there. I've got 10 names in here. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to draft a name. Kev is going to draft a number. That'll put us our draft order. And then we're going to talk about draft strategy for that number as well, because most of you watching will care less about where I'm picking in this draft. But you do care about where you're picking in your drafts. And so that's what we're going to talk about here in this segment. So we're going to start here. Again, I'll draw a name. Kev will draw a number. And that can make it as random as possible at the very least. So here we go. We're going to draft the first name and number. 3, 2, 1. Pull. And okay. I pulled Dan DiMicco. You can't see it. But Dan DiMicco, he was our champion a couple of years ago. What number is he?
He is number 4.
Number 4, Dan DiMicco. All right, so let's talk through draft strategy. If you're sitting at number 4, what's your thought first round and then the turn on the second round?
Well, my first thought, if I'm at number 4, if any chance any of the like Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto, or Mookie Betts, if any of those three slide somehow to number 4, then that's going to – it'll take me about 3 seconds to – pull that lever, because I think those guys are top 3 players. And if they're all gone, I'm still not looking to take a pitcher at that level. Cause I don't know if on ESPN, they've got Garrett Cole ranked as the 2nd best fantasy baseball player. And I think that's just crazy. I'm not taking him over those 3 guys that I just mentioned. So I think at number 4, I'm looking for an offensive player, because I think that there'll be some pitchers that will be available, like Framber Valdez or one of those guys that will be available on the turn that I could pull the trigger for a top of the rotation guy.
So I'm opposite of you on this one, Kevin. At 4, I think Strider or Cole, if one of them's there, I'm taking one of those guys at that spot. Last year, outside of Otani, we're taking Otani out of this just because, well, we don't think of him out completely, but he's not the top guy this year. We've already talked about that without him pitching. His numbers are a little different. I think Acuna is the clear-cut number 1.
It doesn't matter what league or what kind of, you know, fantasy teams or whatever. If it's redraft, dynasty, categories, whatever, Ronald Acuna is the number 1 pick. That's end of the discussion.
Now, last year, Garrett Cole was 3rd in points in our league behind Otani and Acuna, and Strider was 4th in points behind those two guys. So as long as they stay healthy, those two guys are going to score again this year. So I'm looking at grabbing one of those top pitchers here at number 4. And then on the turn, coming around on 6th pick in the 2nd round, I'm looking to get some offensive hit probably there, unless something crazy's happened where another top pitcher's sitting there, but I don't think they will be at that point. And so then I'm starting to load up on offense. But I think if 4 is a prime spot for a Cole or a Strider, I don't love — we'll talk about this when we get to pick 2, but I don't love taking a pitcher at pick 2. But at pick 4, I think is kind of that spot where I'm starting to say, yeah, that's where I want to find my ace at if I'm sitting there at 4. And then I'll go offense in the next round, depending on who's sitting there and things like that. So that's, yeah, I'm intrigued by that. All right, let's grab another one. 3, 2, 1, pull. I've got Mike Brown. He's the co-founder of Belly Up Sports.
I'm going to drop my hat, and this is going to go all down the drain here.
What number you got?
All right, so Mike Brown, congratulations. You are number 1.
Pick number 1. It's rigged. All right, so let's talk about this strategy, though, at 1. You said Acuna is the guy to get at 1. I think you have to take Acuna at 1.
You have to.
It's wild if you don't. But
he had.
But you've got to wait then a long time before you get to your 2nd pick.
Yeah, you can.
But you get back to back picks at the next at the end of the 2nd, beginning of the 3rd. So what's your strategy with that?
So if I'm — there's no if — I draft Ronald Acuna, and so then when the pick comes around, I'm looking for a pitcher, probably at that spot, and then another, you know, you can go either way with that. If there are 2 pitchers that you like, because you've got Acuna already, you can pull the trigger and get 2 pitchers back to back. So if that's what's there, I wouldn't hesitate to do that.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm probably leaning towards back-to-back pitchers at that point, because again, you wait so long before you pick again. I feel like at that turn, that 2-3 turn, is when you just got to go ahead and get the two best pitchers that are on the board. That being said, you could also have some guys sitting there at the end of the second, first of the third, where you've got a top tier second baseman that's sitting there. And we'll talk about that when we get to the rankings, but I like to have one of the top three second basemen on my team. So if one of those guys are sitting there, or even a young guy that you really like, a Bobby Witt or somebody like that, that you say, well, they're not going to be there when I come back around again. When you're picking one, you have to reach some in the draft if you like you guys do. Because they're not going to be there when you come back
around. That's right, because you're not picking for another almost 20 picks.
Yeah.
So shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot. All right, let's go. Third pick in the numbers in here. 3-2-1 pool. I've got, let's look at the name here. I got Kevin Wilson. Kevin, this is your pick.
Oh, no. Okay, so there it is. It's number five, which
right in the middle.
Right in the middle. So that is not the sweet spot that you want in your draft. But and I talked at four, probably not pitcher, but five, absolutely. And we talked about this when we did our pitcher tiers. And to me, Strider is the top pitcher. And so if Garrett Cole's off the board by then, I'm going to probably go Spencer Strider at number five. And I would be very happy with that. And I think he's going to have a great season. And so if that's what happens, then when the second round comes around, you almost have to go offense there.
Yeah.
Because if you go two pitchers, by the time it comes all the way back around, all the top offensive players are going to be off the board.
Yeah, what you know you're getting at five, you know you're either getting Acuna, Betts, Soto, Cole, or Strider. And I think you're pretty happy with one of those guys. Right. I don't like being in the middle of the draft. I like that being like three or seven, three or eight in that range is what I like.
Right. But I was seven last year and wound up with Betts. So that really helped a lot.
But what's nice about that five spot is you don't wait long. You're right there in the middle, so you get the same spot every round pretty much, and you're sitting there knowing, okay, and you know, you can kind of count out who's going to be gone by the time you get there, and you don't have to wait horribly long on it as well. I agree with you. I think if you go pitcher at five, then when you come around to round two, there's not a pitcher, unless again Cole or Strider slides, which they're not going to because you and I are in the draft. There's not another pitcher that really is at value at that spot.
No, because you're round. Right. Because we're probably talking about something like Lopez
or Minnesota. I mean, Burns could be there.
If Burns is there, then you might have to just take the double dip.
Yeah.
Because those are, you know, right there at the top of both of our pitching tiers.
Yeah.
And so you might have to bite the bullet. I can't see that happening for the life of me.
Yeah.
Because I think Burns will be gone either, maybe not first, but top of the second. So at number five, that's really not a realistic option.
Yeah.
But if it was, hey.
I feel for you, kid. You're going to get a great pick at number five. The rest of the draft is what I hate about it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's go with another one here. Right. 3-2-1 pool. The name is Jason Bailey, new to the league this year from the South End Zone podcast.
Jason Bailey is number two.
Numero dos. All right, so Acuna goes one.
Right.
Who goes two?
When we started doing our, you know, research for this, I was pretty much, you know, Juan Soto's the second best player. But I think right now, Mookie Betts would have to you'd have to consider that long and hard, because Mookie Betts is a guy, he's going to have second base and outfield throughout the whole year. And, you know, he's going to be playing every day. And I don't think there's a wrong answer here, but Mookie Betts is probably the player that I would take at number two, simply because of that versatility he gives you, and he's going to give you great offensive numbers. So I would probably go Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I admit I have not studied too hard yet on my overall rankings. We've been doing position rankings and everything like that. Again, I think you have an internal fight here with yourself on a Gerrit Cole, a Spencer Strider, whichever pitcher you like the most, a Mookie Betts, a Juan Soto. Those are guys that that's who you're battling with right now to figure out if you like having great pitchers. Well, then you're taking pitcher here. If you like to wait on pitchers, well, then obviously you're going to go with a Betts or a Soto, whichever one you think is going to have the better year. The thing that scares me about pitchers that high in the draft is injury. They're more apt to be injured than a Mookie Betts is in most cases. Right. So that's where my internal fighting would come from. Points wise, last year would tell you need to go get a pitcher. You need to go get Cole or Strider at two. But again, that was last year, and you've got to think about this year and how things are going to work out with it this year. And I think it's the same idea as we talked about with the pick number one. When you come around to the second round, it's the same thing. If you go pitcher in round one, you're going offense in round two. And honestly, at that point in round two, you're probably going to go offense no matter what, because I don't think there's a great pitching value at that pick. But you're going to pick at a few more picks in the third round. Right. And that might be when you go pitcher at that point.
At that point, you're probably talking about something like Nola.
Yeah.
Somebody in that area. Well,
yeah, maybe Wheeler.
I think Wheeler comes off the board before that. I think
he'll be gone before that.
I think so. And so Nola's not a bad option. But wherever you pick, as you mentioned, it'll come right back around to you. So don't think that you have to reach for anybody at that spot.
Right.
Whoever's there that you're comfortable with at taking at that spot, go ahead and do it, even if it's another pitcher.
That's a great point. So you make your pick
back around.
You make your pick based on your rankings in the second round. When you come back around to that third round, that's if you're going to reach, that's when you reach. Not in the second.
You got to reach there.
Yeah.
Especially if you drafted two pitchers.
Right.
You got it.
Yeah.
You know, your whole team is going to have no offensive oomph if you've got two pitchers or three pitchers at the top.
Right. At that pick, you're looking, you could have a Zach Gallen still sitting there in the second round.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's you said Lopez, Nola, those kind of guys are there. Maybe, I mean, Snell will be there. The question is will we know where he's pitching yet?
Right.
So, and where you have them ranked at and all that stuff. All right, let's get on to the next one here. Let me draw a name. 3, 2, 1, pull. I've got my dad, Dale Stover, at this pick.
Okay, he is number 9.
Numero, what is 9? I forget. Yeah. Nueve? Number 9. All right.
Whatever
He'll be happy with that. He likes being somewhere on the turn there. All right, so let's talk about number 9, and then again, you're pick number 2 in the second round, so you got a good turnaround. And what's the strategy you're looking at number 9?
I think at number 9 that you just take whatever player that's there that you like the best, regardless of position. And you don't reach at all, because you're going to be picking in a couple of picks anyway. So just take the player, because in the first round in general, I like. In fantasy overall, you take pitchers or players that you have any questions about whatsoever to me. So at number 9, you take the player that you feel the best about. And I would say that if you're at number 9, and let's say, because the first baseman, I think both of us agree that that's a player that we could probably wait a little bit in the draft. But at number 9, Freddie Freeman, if he's sitting there, might be a player you're going to have to invest in.
Yeah, his name was on my brain too. I think guys like Freddie Freeman, Jose Ramirez, if he's sitting there at 9, I think that's a solid value.
That's an automatic slam dunk right there.
We're ranking second baseman, but you got, again, a top second baseman probably is going to be there at maybe not Betts, but there's a chance that Simeon's sitting there at 9. Pitchers wise, I think by then Cole and Strider are gone.
Both off the board, so I'm not taking a pitcher, and I don't believe in that spot. It's the second round, you can pull that lever and get a pitcher there. Probably the same spot.
What about Shohei Ohtani?
Shohei Ohtani. Well, if you're in an ESPN league like we are, Shohei Ohtani keeps showing up as a second round pick. If you get him in the second round, I think there's value. There's a lot of value there. But at 9, I don't know if I'm pulling that lever on him just yet, because I think possibly he could be there when it comes back around. So I would probably hold off on Shohei Ohtani right there.
If I'm sitting at 10, I am praying that you're picking Kyle Tucker at 9. Because okay. I ain't drafting Kyle Tucker.
So right. I've had him before. And you know, there's been some times where he was outstanding.
Yeah.
Then there are times where he disappears.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. And he's ranked like in the top 5 or 6
yeah. on ESPN. He's the number 4 hitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so... yeah, if he's there at 9, I don't know. You might think about that.
Yeah, but, that's what I'm hoping. Because I ain't drafted. Yeah,
you might have to think about that. I probably would not do that.
Yeah.
But so whatever you do, don't reach at number 9 because the second round is coming in a couple of picks. Then, as we talked about in the whole second round, you can reach a little bit there. As you know, you're going to be sitting there for another 20 picks.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have a little bit.
Might reap a little bit.
That's where you're looking at. If you really like these guys, you're looking at, well, I think Matt Olson on the second round turn. I don't love Matt Olson in the first round, but on that second round turn, I like Corbin Carroll. How much you love Alonzo Guerrero, somebody like that. It's a little high for some of those guys, but.
Guerrero's not happening at number 9.
Yeah. But again, no, not at 9. I mean, on the turn of the second round.
Whatever that would be, 12, I guess?
Yeah.
And so I'm not taking Guerrero or Alonso at 12.
There's
value to be had later.
Let's move on to the next one. Okay. This will be for our defending champion, Chase Thornton.
Okay.
Here.
Okay, let's see. Chase, he's number 6.
Number 6. All right. So kind of the same strategy as you have at 5. I really think that the top 2 pitchers are gone by 6. And that means that you're left with your options of like Jose Ramirez. How much do you love Matt Olson? How much do you love Kyle Tucker? Those kinds of guys, I think, is what you're looking at. Freddie Freeman. Those are the kind of guys you're looking at 6.
At 6, if both pitchers are gone. So I think Ramirez is the player that you slot in there because he's a third baseman and he puts up stats year in, year out. And so maybe Cleveland's not the best team, you know, around him, but he's going to be there. He steals bases. He hits home runs. And so at number 6, I would have to say Jose Ramirez, come on down.
Yeah, and then you make the flip to the second round. You know, it depends on how much you like those pitchers. ESPN has Kevin Gausman and Zach Wheeler sitting in that area. So Burns even as well. Chase is a Brewers fan. Burns isn't with Milwaukee anymore. But if he's sitting there in the second round at that spot, I think that's a good spot for one of those pitchers. All right.
I totally agree with that. And so there we have it.
All right. Next person on the list is myself.
Yourself. Stover. Okay.
Give me a good one, Kev.
You are number 8.
Number 8. Oh, my dad is going to be irate at this. He doesn't like picking close to me. All right.
Okay. So, your pick. I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay. So at 8, again, it's not a good spot for a pitcher for me. At 8, unless Strider or Cole is sitting there, which, I don't think they will be. So then, again, I'm looking at the same guys, Freddie Freeman, Jose Ramirez. Those are the two guys I'd like to see sitting there, one of those two guys at 8. Shohei, to me, it's too high for Shohei.
Too high.
And so I don't love that pick. If somehow a Mookie slides, there's not a lot of guys I like at 8. I like the second round better than the first round sitting at 8. Just because then you've got guys that I'm interested in, the Corbin Carrolls, Ozzie Albies. We'll talk about second baseman again here in a few minutes. I don't love Bregman. But he's, points wise, it makes sense. I suppose, I don't love him there. And again, pitchers at 8, unless it's Cole or Strider, I'm just not taking a first round pitcher.
Yeah, if it's Cole or Strider happens to be there, that's a no-brainer. But after that, you know, whatever you're feeling, go ahead and do that. If
follow your rankings, right?
Yes, right. In the first round, you follow your rankings. I agree with that. And so if you if Ramirez is there at number eight, you fall all over yourself about that.
Yeah.
And because, like you said, I'm not looking at any kind of outfielder there because I think Corbin Carroll will be there second round when it comes back to you. So
here's the problem, Kevin.
Okay.
Dad thinks he knows how I think, which, I mean, I put it out here on the show, so he should.
Right. So there's no mystery.
But they're having Dad in between me and my picks will be an issue because I know Dad will try to grab some guys that he knows not going to come back around to him again. And he knows that, you know, I'm interested in too. And he still thinks we're hiding things from him, Kevin. I try to tell him we're not, but Dad, we're not.
Yeah, we're open-ended right here. You know what I'm saying?
So now that being said, I there is not a San Francisco Giant that I'm going to be drafting in the first or second round.
First, second.
So they're all yours, Dad. But I will have to deal with that. I will have to deal with.
We haven't talked about Logan Webb.
Yeah.
He's a pitcher. If you're at the end of the second round, maybe you look at.
Yeah, he would have to be, for me, he has to be fourth round, personally.
Well, if he's there in the third, I'm pretty happy with that. But yeah.
That being said, as the draft goes on.
No, Dale, don't do it. Okay?
Yeah, he won't. As the draft goes on, it becomes more of an issue because then I've got to make a pick in front of him knowing that he gets two picks before I pick again, and it just causes some stress. And some family disputes, but anyways, well, it'll be fine. Last year, he stole somebody
available from
Dan, right? Or 2 years ago, stole. I don't remember one of those years. He got someone from Dan at a weird. It was 2 years ago. Internet went down, ESPN crashed, and there was an issue. But anyways, that's all.
I remember that. That's right. It was 2 years ago, and we stopped the draft. And there was a player there was players after him that we started the whole draft over from his point on. Yep, I remember that.
All right, so we're still filling number 3, number 7, and number 10. The next one that we're picking is going to be Nathan Nguyen. He was at the bottom of the barrel last year. He's committed to do better this year. Where's Nathan?
That's right. Come on, Nathan. Bring on the power, and you'll be doing that from pick number 7.
Pick number 7. This is one of my favorite picks in the draft.
That's where I was a year ago and wound up with Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I feel like your first pick at number 7 is going to, it's just going to be whoever falls in your lap. That's what you're waiting for at number 7. Then it gets fun once you get into the next few rounds. But I like it because there's not a lot of stress at 7. It's just you got to sit and wait for the guys in front of you to pick. And then the best guy that's sitting there, a Freddie Freeman, again, a Ramirez if he happens to make it down there. You know, those kinds of, that's the kind of guy you're looking at this point. Shohei, if you love Shohei. Again, I'm not taking him to me, 10 is the top line for Shohei. I'm not taking him there. But if you believe in Shohei, I mean, this is the time to do it.
Well, if you're – well, we're not talking about 10 just yet, but number 7, like, I agree with you 100%. If any of the players that we've talked to so far come to you at number 7, you do that.
Yeah.
And so even if you're high in Freddie Freeman, if one of those players that we come to you, you let someone else take Freddie Freeman and you go ahead and pull the trigger. If it's someone like Ramirez, something like that, I would do that 100 times over Freddie Freeman at number 7.
Yeah. So I've got 6 guys that are, I want one of those 6, and there's a good chance I'm not going to get any of those 6 being at number 8. And so for Nathan, if he's sitting there at 7, then it's a matter of, you know, do you like the same 6 guys that I like? And if one falls, are you going to take them? And if not, then who do you like? You know, maybe you like a pitcher. He's a Phillies fan. Maybe he likes Wheeler enough to go grab Wheeler there.
Don't do it.
No, do it. Do it.
Well, you know, I'm in front of him, so it really doesn't affect me one way or the other.
Do it, Nate. Go out there and get a Bryce Harper. You know, that's a name we haven't brought up a whole lot.
Okay, not in the first round at all. Yeah. Nowhere near that.
But again, if you're going to go homer picks.
Don't do it, Nathan.
That's what you're looking at. Wheeler and Harper, those kinds of things there. There's no A's going in the first round, by the way, for Nathan either. All right, let's go. We got 2 more picks, number 3 and number 10. We are picking this one for the newest member of our league, Ryan Capalbo. I'm not actually sure if I'm saying that name correct, but
I'm going to let you take that one.
Okay, where's Ryan picking?
So Ryan is going at number 10.
Number 10. I like number 10. Okay. Because again, if I'm not in the top six, I like going back to back. I like getting the first pick of a new round, those kinds of things as well. And I think at number 10, you have all kinds of options on the board. Going 10, 11, I like going pitcher here. If the two pitchers are gone, which they should be, and there's a chance then that you've got the best of the next tier of pitchers. So whoever you like, Burns, Wheeler, Lopez, whoever it is that you like, Gossman, whoever probably it is, you take one of those at 10, and then you take an offensive player at 11, in my opinion, or it doesn't matter which order you do it in. You're going back to back. So I think you got to go one pitcher because, again, Kevin, it is a long time before you
pitch. It is. Absolutely. And so, you know, we've talked about Ohtani, and that's a spot where you could pick whatever player you like at 10 and go Ohtani because then it's the second round.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if he's not the Ohtani of old, it's not the same kind of value that the first round would not, you know, that really matters one way or the other because you're picking back to back. But I would do that, pick whoever I like at 10 and then go Ohtani at number 11.
All right, then a resident Yankee fan, Brent Radlinski, is the final member. He's picking number three.
There's no mystery here. Number three.
All right, Yankee fan, Juan Soto's the pick here, right? Or Garrett Cole, one of those two.
That would work if I'm a Yankees guy and Betts goes two, and Acuna goes one, of course, but. If that's the scenario, then I'm going Soto every single time over Garrett Cole. I think him going to the Yankees, maybe there was something about the West Coast that just wasn't agreeing with Soto over there, but he's back on the East Coast, and we all know the New York media will be difficult to deal with. But I think he'll be more comfortable in New York, believe it or not.
I'm going Cole.
In that spot in that short right field porch, I think Juan Soto is up for a really good season.
I think number three is the ideal spot for pitcher number one, whoever that is on your list, Strider or Cole. To me, that's the perfect spot. I think three and five are the two picks for pitchers, in my opinion, in this draft. And I think, but again, I don't think you go wrong. I don't think you're wrong if you pick Soto. I don't think you go wrong if you pick Betts if he's there. It's just a matter of what you believe in the most. But Cole has been so consistent over the years. Soto, I'm big on Soto this year too, but the big thing is, man, did he drop the ball last year. And so do you believe that he's back? We both believe he's back, but I still trust Cole and Strider more than I trust Soto.
Right. And we've talked about this where we, both of you and I, think Strider is the number one guy.
Yes.
This year, as far as pitcher goes. And so if you're going to go pitcher there, then I'm doing Strider.
I agree.
And, but even I wouldn't do either one of them at number three because, you know, you're going to get 160 games out of Soto. And even though he didn't have a great year, it wasn't awesome. It was right there. And
it was 495 points in our league last year that Juan Soto got. Puts him, I'm trying to pull up the numbers now from last year. That puts him down at about 10 on the offensive side of things. And then your pitchers, you had Cole, Strider, Gallen, Castillo, Snell, Wheeler, Gossman, Webb, Lopez, Gilbert, Eflin, Burns, Bassett, Valdez, Kirby were all higher points than him last year. Now, again, it was a down year, and I expect him to beat out a lot of those pitchers. Entire
Padres organization.
Yes. So I expect them to beat out a lot of those pitchers, but I still think that Strider and Cole are above Soto on my list for points wise. I think
that would not be the case with my list because I would take 8 seconds to pick Soto. I think in New York, we're really going to like what he puts together.
Yeah,
he's if his outfield partner can stop running into fences and injuring his toe, that is a heck of a batting order right there. Have those two guys together, and so I really like that a lot. So if I'm number three, it's got to be Soto if he's there. Yeah. If he's not, I'm going Mookie Betts because I'm really high on him. And not just because I had him last year, but that second base outfield, you know, eligibility, it's hard to ignore. And I wouldn't ignore it.
Yeah.
So and I any think of those too, four guys that are ahead of me, if you want to head, let Mookie Betts slide.
That'd be just fine with you.
I'll send you like a, you know, a pizza or something.
That being said, you come around in the second round. I think if you don't go pitcher in the first round, I think you got to go pitcher in the second round. You might even go pitcher second and third round.
You've got your offensive piece.
Yeah,
I like that too. And it's not that long between third and, you know, second, in the second third, round, and it comes back around. So I could see going and getting a couple of pitchers right there, Valdez or one of those guys. And you'd be setting yourself up pretty well. If you got Soto and a couple pitchers, then you know you could just pretty much relax and figure out what you're going to do the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so the draft is set for us. We've talked through draft strategy for each of these 10 positions. We go a 10-man points league. Obviously, if you have a 12-person point league, it extends out a little further, or a 12-person league, it extends out a little further. But that being said, that's our fantasy burner today, talking through draft strategy. We're going to go to our second segment of the day, which we like to call our call to the pit. All right, Call to the Pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Now is the time to join the flavor revolution. You can do it at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase every time at righteousfelon.com, and you're absolutely going to love the jerky. I guarantee it. All right, we're not going to spend a lot of time in this segment today, but there's a couple quick things I wanted to hit on. And that is that a little bit of position changes or announcements that came out this week. We're going to talk about with our rankings, but the Padres announced this week that they are going to make the move from Xander Bogaerts playing short to playing second base.
Which he's never done, by the way.
Never done. Ha-Seong Kim will be the everyday shortstop. And Bogaerts makes the switch to second. He can play second. I'm not worried about
that. He can play. You know, yeah. Shortstop's probably a more difficult position defensively anyway. So I think that'll, as far as defensively, that'll work out fine.
Yeah. And then, like I said, a lot of people won't care about this now, but I tried to tell you about Sal Frelick last year. I tried to tell you he's coming up soon. He's going to be, you know, he's not going to be your top outfielder, but he's going to be a guy that can help your fantasy team. And he did. And I'm not just being a homer with this, but I did see they're working him at third base. Because, well, there's a lot of young guys in the outfield for Milwaukee. Of course, Yelich is the stalwart out at left field, but they got Jackson Chourio coming up, who is the highest paid young guy in Milwaukee and one of the top prospects in the league right now.
He should be.
Yeah, and then you've got other guys that are serviceable.
I like him coming into the season. Yeah.
Yeah. But you got other guys who are serviceable out there with Garrett Mitchell, Weimer, they got Blake Perkins, whatever. Frelick is the best of the prospects outside of Chourio. That being said, if they want to try to keep these guys in the program and not trade them, well, they got to find somewhere to play these guys. And Sal Frelick, who is not very tall, although plays a phenomenal outfield, they're trying him out in the infield. So what do you think about guys like that who, again, they're going to be low-level draft picks, maybe even waiver wire pickups at the end of the day, but maybe getting some different eligibility added on to what they're doing. To me, the Sal Frelicks of the world, that boosts their value so much by having the eligibility to go third base and outfield versus just outfield.
Well, I think that applies to every player.
Yeah.
But especially a young guy. And so he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on because we don't have any – we talked about this. There's no NA spots in our league. And so I can't see drafting him unless he comes out and just goes gangbusters in spring training. So he's a player to keep your eyes on. And if he breaks camp with the big club, he will. Someone to keep your eye on. And it's the same here with Lankford of the Rangers. They had a big special about him just a couple of days ago, and they're really, really excited about him. And so those two guys right there are all young. And so keep an eye on them for sure.
I would promise you, Kevin, Sal Frelick will be drafted in our league. Now, granted, it may be the second to last round or the last round, but he will be drafted. He has earned my respect where I feel like he deserves to be drafted.
And if you give a last round pick, whomever,
Right. That's what they're there for.
That's what they're there for. And if I'm drafting somebody last, you could be pretty sure by a month into the season, it'll probably be on the waiver wire anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where you shoot your shot for sure right there.
Scott Boras, is he a great agent or is he really screwing over his guys right now?
Well, I guess that's up to them to decide.
We'll see, right?
That's right.
But then I want to get paid.
Maybe it's smart because, you know, like in football, a lot of times they miss camp. And so they get wear and tear on their bodies. But, you know, if they'd sign up before our draft, that would be awesome.
It would sure help.
It would sure help. And I did see that the Rangers said that they're unlikely to get Jordan Montgomery back. So, you know, with this going on, but you never know if they, well, with Boras, he's not going to say, well, let's sign for half of the, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. But those guys are, you know, they're quality players, Snell and guys like that.
Bellinger
that we've talked about who, you know, I need to see because last year did not erase the bad taste in my mouth that he left in the Dodger uniform. And I need to see that he didn't do that because it was his walk year. And so, and we talked about that before. I don't see myself drafting him unless he falls. But so we'll have to see. There's a lot of guys that wherever they sign is going to change your draft strategy one way or the other.
One guy who did sign this past week, Jorge Soler, goes to San Francisco on
like
a three-year
that.
Deal. He's going to bat number four, it looks like, currently is where they have him slotted in at, with Jung-Hoo Lee batting first, Estrada second, and Lamonte Wade third. And then he'll have someone like Conforto or Yastrzemski or Flores behind him. You say you like it. Tell me why.
I like that because the Giants, they lacked any kind of power. I don't think he's going to go to San Francisco and hit 36 bombs or whatever, but I think their order is good enough that where he gets some quality pitches there. And so anyone that bats in the middle of a lineup, you need to take consideration for. And he's not going to go, you know, early enough in drafts where you're really taking a shot or taking a chance with him. So even though, you know, when it comes to the Giants, I'd rather let your dad deal with that. But he's a player that I think that signing probably makes more sense than just about any other signing that we could talk about.
Interesting. Last year was his best year, no doubt. 36 home runs. He did have more home runs in Kansas City in 2019. But 36 home runs, 75 RBIs. His K rate was 24.3%, which was the lowest other than 2021 in his career.
Still not great though.
No, not great, but when you see improvement, you know, that's a positive sign.
Right.
That being said, San Francisco is a better park than Miami for power.
Right. Well, you know, and that's not saying a whole lot because it really isn't, because the Giants is not a hitting ballpark.
Yeah.
We all know that. I've actually been around that park and, so I've seen it and, you know, power hitters. Yeah, you know.
Well, let me add to that then. His batting average was as good as it's been since 2019 by a good stretch, actually. And maybe, well, he hit 36 home runs, but maybe having that extra field to work with helps the batting average out, where he's not just popping out or home running. Sometimes he's dropping some in the gaps and things like that.
Right. There's a lot of gaps area in San Francisco. And so, I like that signing for them. I like that better than Teoscar Hernandez coming to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And so, the Giants did themselves pretty good shape on that deal right there.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a decent one. Now, be careful, folks. If you're watching social media, the team's going to tell you, this pitcher, this hitter, they're looking better than they've ever looked. But remember, it's the first week of spring training. Settle down. Give it some time. Let things settle into place and go from there. I want to get to our rankings, so that's what we're going to do for today's call to the pen. Again, sponsored by Righteous Felon Jerky. Go to righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 to get 15% off your purchase. Let's go to our second baseman rankings and our fantasy focus. All right. Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports. Articles for every fantasy sport you can imagine, including all of the articles for the one and only Kevin Wilson, can be found on BellyUpFantasySports.com. We had some former BellyUp guys return to the BellyUp Fantasy side of things recently as well, so maybe some old familiar faces for some of you who have been around for a while. But that being said, make sure you check out the website, BellyUpFantasySports.com. All right, we're ranking second baseman today, and I'm excited to get into this because I'm really curious to see how your tiers line up with this. And let's start right at the top, man. Tier number one, what's yours looking like?
Okay, so tier number one has one player and one player only. And we've talked about him already quite a bit, and that's Mookie Betts. And so whatever you want to talk about, he hit 307, 39 homers, 107 RBIs, 40 doubles, 179 hits. It just goes on. But the thing that's really impressive to most about, which you just talked about, Soler's, 24% strikeout rate.
Yeah.
Here's what Mookie Betts is, 15.4%.
Nice.
And its walk rate is 13.9%. That is stellar. And so whatever you're looking for, he'll give it to you. And he's the only second baseman that comes anywhere close to being a first-round draft pick to me. And so he stands far head and shoulders above every other player.
So I battled with this one a little bit. I've got two guys in tier one. That being said, Mookie is clearly number one. I got Marcus Semien there also because if I didn't put Semien in tier one, I'd have to put him alone in tier number two, and I didn't want to do that. So I put him in tier one. He is a end of first round, early second round pick, in my opinion. Mookie is definitely a top three pick, in my opinion. So I agree with you ultimately on this, that Mookie is the clear cut number one. But I think Semien didn't belong with the guys that I have in tier two. Not sure that he belongs in tier one, but at the same time, I didn't want to have one guy in tier one and one guy in tier two. So okay. I put Semien in tier number one along with Betts. But I think Betts, yeah, for me, I'm not taking Semien. Probably, I don't think I'm taking him. I could take him at 9 or 10 possibly. I don't think where I'm sitting at number 8, I think that's still a little too rich for my blood. But that being said, I think he's deserving of being the clear. I think he's clear cut number 2 at second base. Over the other guys. You agree with that or no?
So I would agree with that. Yes, okay. I would agree with that. So I've had him in my tier two. I've got two players here.
Okay.
And that's Semien and then Ozzie Albies. I've got him in tier two, but there is a distinct difference between these two guys because, you know, Ozzie Albies has an injury history,
yeah.
But he did play at 140. 8 games last year and hit 33 homers, 109 RBIs, whatever you want to talk about, an 849 OPS. And he was caught stealing once, stole 13 bases, scored 96 runs, had 107 Ks. So he's pretty, he's right there as far as strikeout rates and stuff. But Marcus Semien, almost to his detriment, you know, he's going to be there every single day. He played every game and every inning that the Rangers played last year. So in the last 3 years, he's played in 162, 162, 161.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, he had 100 RBIs. He had 40 doubles. He had 122 runs, 102 10K. So these second basemen that we have right here are not strikeout hogs. So I like that a lot. Walked 72 times. And so Marcus Semien is at the top of this tier. And if Ozzie Albies puts together the kind of year he's capable of doing, he's not that far behind to me, Marcus Semien.
So Betts, Albies, and Altuve are the sexy names at second base, but Semien is the consistent. He's just there. And you just can't ignore that. That being said, I love Ozzie Albies. I've had him in multiple leagues, multiple times. I really like Albies. I've got Albies in tier two as the clear cut number three second baseman, but I've also included Altuve on this list in tier number two. And this is a projection above projections here, Kevin.
Okay.
Jackson Holliday in tier two also. You look at his numbers in the minor leagues and you see what his potential is. Now, I understand that to draft him as the number five second baseman is a reach at this point where he is, because we are not positive that he's going to have an opening day job. We do not know that yet. That being said, I am willing to bet on Jackson Holliday. And even if it means a guy that I'm going to have to draft and take up a roster spot on my league for a month or two until he comes up, I'm willing to do that. Now, how high? That's a good question mark. Am I willing to take him in the third round? I don't think so. That's a pretty big reach. That being said, I think his talent puts him in tier number two. His promise puts him in tier number two. His projection does not put him there, according to ESPN. But that being said, ESPN, their rankings are not always right. So I've got Albies, Altuve, and Holliday in my tier two.
Okay, so when we look at overall, Ozzie Albies in ESPN is ranked 32nd overall. He's 23rd in Fantasy Pros. So if you're dealing with Fantasy Pros, that's not as big a value. But if you can get Ozzie Albies maybe at the end of the second or start at the third, there's a lot of value here. And so he's a player that you could, if you don't take him in the second, he won't be there, of course, when he comes back around in the third.
Right.
But these two guys I have grouped together. And I started, because I have Jose Altuve. That's where I first came. And he is in tier three by himself. That's where he started.
By himself. Okay.
By himself. Because the guys that we're getting ready to talk about, I kind of had them all in the same. But Jose Altuve, I have him ranked over those guys. And so, but even though he only played in 90 games last year, and that's why I don't have him in tier two. The Astros obviously believe in him because they just signed him to a deal. But, when you look at some of these things, 90 games, he still hit .311. Right. And he still had 14 steals, and he only got caught twice. And so this guy right here, if he's healthy and you're taking your chances on him, if he can be healthy, because they've got Jose Altuve and ESPN ranked over Albies. I think that's insane.
I agree.
But so the value here is not where I think it would be for Ozzie Albies. But so I had him in my tier three by himself until the announcement came that they're moving Xander Bogaerts over to second base.
Okay.
So with that knowledge, I'm moving him into this tier with Jose Altuve, even though he was a disappointment, but that was as a shortstop. If you put him in at second base now, I think he's got the stats that was, and he's playing every day. And so I liked him as a second baseman better than a shortstop. So I'm slotting him in this tier right here.
And I think you have to know that San Diego players are going to be better this year than they were last year. There's no way they can be as bad
as they were. With Tatis and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
They have to be.
Yeah. Tatis, by the way, had a really good year. We'll talk about him and outfielders, but
right.
Yeah, I'm big on him. Okay. So your tier three is Altuve and Bogaerts. My tier three is a clump of guys that I assume at least some of these are going to be mentioned in your tier four. I go Ketel Marte, Nico Horner, Luis Arias, Xander Bogaerts is here. And I put Matt McClain from Cincinnati in this tier also.
Okay.
I like these tier three guys, but I'd be surprised if any of these guys end up on my team. I kind of like the tier four guys' value better than I like my tier three guys. Ketel Marte, he's been inconsistent. He was good last year. He was back to where he needed to be last year, but he's been inconsistent. Nico Horner plays for that traitor, Craig Council in Chicago. I can't do that. Luis Arias is the most overrated fantasy player in the history of fantasy baseball. He's a phenomenal National League baseball player. He's great to get on base, but fantasy wise, people draft him too high. He's talented and he gets you points, but he's not a top two tier guy. He's in this pack. Bogaerts, again, I like him in tier three. I like him at the high end of tier three. And then Matt McClain's the guy, though. You know me with Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's going to be an utter failure as a team when it's all said and done. But they really do have some fantasy relevant guys. The problem is can you get them at value, or are people going to be drafting them too high? So I got McClain in this tier also.
So in this tier, it's pretty much coming down the line. I got Ketel Marte here, and I got Nico Horner. I got Gleyber Torres, even though I had to force myself to write his name in his spot. Then I got Arias, and the reason why, because in a points league, his strikeout rate is 5.5%. So he doesn't strike out a lot, doesn't walk a lot either, but he's ranked at number 6 on ESPN. That's not happening here. But I'm tearing these guys up, you know, in the rankings that I feel that they belong in, not where I'm going to draft him.
Right.
So I did have Arias last year, and he was flirting with 400, you know, at times and whatever. But he was a value for me last year at number 6 in the second base ranks. That's not happening.
No.
And then.
Well, last year he had first base eligibility.
That's right.
And that helped his value for sure.
That's right. And so in this tier, even though we talked about Bogaerts a minute ago, I've got Ha-Seong Kim in this spot. And the reason why I have that is because he's second base, he's shortstop, and he's third base eligible. And so maybe that won't be the case next year if all he does is play short. But right now, ESPN and Fantasy Pros both have in the top 10 a second baseman. I think that's a little rich also. But he played 152 games, 150 year before that. And so and he strikes out more than these other guys. So I have him behind these other guys and Gleyber Torres, as I mentioned. He's only 27. Seems like he's been around forever.
Right.
But hitting in that New York lineup when they add Soto now, I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to, you know, score and drive in runs. So, and he played 158 games. So I wrote his name down. I kind of had to hold my nose the whole time I did that. But all these guys are in my tier four. I think they're there. And I really like Nico Horner, even though he plays for your, you know, trader over there. But
the baseball gods are not going to reward Chicago Kevin.
They are pretty much the same player eventually.
I agree.
Okay.
But I'm telling you.
I'm down with you on that one.
The baseball gods are not going to reward Craig Counsell. He did the ultimate backstab.
Okay.
It will not be rewarded. Just know the curse is on Chicago this year. We're talking ACL injuries. We're talking Tommy Johns. Like, it is the baseball curse is on Chicago. And I feel bad for the players because it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's Craig Counsell's fault. But it's just the way it's going to happen. Tier four. Now you had some of the guys that I had in tier two and your tier three and so on. I've got Ha-Seong Kim as the top of my tier four. He's number 11 in my second baseman ranking. I've got Gleyber Torres right there with them, Jeff McNeil right there with them, and Bryson Stott, right there with them in Philadelphia. To kind of round out my tiers. Again, I think the guys that I had in tier three, Marte, Horner, Arias, Bogaerts and McClain, I think they're kind of the same player, like you said. And I think Kim, Torres, Stott, McNeil, kind of the same player. There's not a lot of difference between their values, in my opinion. I don't love Bryson Stott, but I feel like there's potential in Philadelphia for them to have a good year, and I think he could be included in that.
And so that's why I have him in my next tier. I've got Andre Jimenez, Bryson Stott, because he's the 146th overall player, and he's second shortstop capability, so there's some value there to me. And this is where I slot in Matt McClain, because I like him, but he only played in 89 games last year, and so I need to see that again before I move him up. On Fantasy Pros, they've got him ranked number 5 overall at second. That's not happening, okay? ESPN is ranked number 11.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little more, I can take that just a little bit better.
Yeah.
The number five overall. But so these guys, and especially Jimenez, 159th overall, if you can get a starting second baseman at in the 15th round, and you know, he does a lot, 76 runs, he does it all. So he kind of slid back a little bit because he hit 297 the year before, but I think he's capable. So Andre Jimenez is a guy that I could see having some value in this tier.
Jimenez is a guy that I see, like, you know, best player available hitting through the draft, and I just kind of keep skipping over him. And he's the kind of guy that whoever's auto picking in the 9th, 10th round ends up getting Jimenez, because he's just at the top of the list currently available. And it's like, I just, maybe not 9th and 10th round, but you know, late in the draft. And it's a guy that every time I come, it's my pick. I'm like, should I draft him? I don't know. Nah, he was kind of down last year. You know, he's still in Cleveland, down. Right?
Right.
Yeah, you know, Cleveland's not that good. You know, what? Nah, I'm going to pass on him. Jimenez is a guy that never ends up on my team, but it's a guy that I consider for like 3 rounds before someone finally picks him.
So,
all right, so, let's get in.
You know, I see. Yeah, we need to hurry up. So one caution tier I have, that's Zach Gieloff of the Oakland A's. As Fantasy Pros has him ranked at number 12 at second base. He plays for the worst team in modern, you know, history. And so he only played in 69 games. So I'm not sure what they're basing that on. And I know he could steal bases or whatever, but still, that I'm cautious with that. I'm not taking him at the number 12 spot at second baseman. If somebody else wants to do that, you go ahead. I'm not doing it.
Okay, so I've got him as my sleeper and value. Now, not at 12, though. At 12. Although, honestly,
I definitely got me off of him at number 12, yeah.
I like him as much as the guy that I've got sitting at 12, but I'm not going to draft him at that point. But you said it, 69 games last year, 14 home runs, 14 stolen bases, hit .267. He plays for the A's. In our league, we do have someone who likes the A's, and Nathan Nguyen. So there's potential that he gets sniped by him. But in my opinion, he's the kind of guy that you can sit on and wait. And if you still need a middle infielder and you're getting down there in the 15th, 16th round, the ways down there in the draft, I mean, he is a guy. The A's give you one player every year with fantasy value. As much as their team stinks, they give you one player with fantasy value. And I think he's the guy this year. So I've got him as my value pick, actually. Well, one of my two. The other guy, Kevin, is Gavin Lux. He got hurt last year, didn't get to play. There were high hopes for him last year. He was going to be the everyday guy at shortstop, actually, last year, and gets injured, doesn't play. Now he's back, and you talk about an under-the-radar potential guy. I mean, look at that lineup in L.A. and what he's hitting after. If he's healthy, I like Gavin Lux as a potential value pick late here in the draft.
Okay, so even though he plays for the Dodgers, I do not have him on my tiers. My value tiers I have Jorge Polanco, simply because he's ranked 255th overall.
I like him better than Jimenez.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of value here, and not a lot of teams will probably have a 25th round, but if he did, There's certain value here. And
he's in Seattle, right?
That's right. They just got traded. Minnesota traded him. And so I like him. I've got Tommy Edman here. And he could play second short outfield. And then, may not believe this, but Luis Ringifo of the Angels, because he is also qualified at second, third, short, and outfield. He's consistent. And so they've got him ranked at 255th overall as well. And so on ESPN, he's not even ranked. 255th is Fantasy Pro. ESPN has him not ranked.
He's not ranked for the sports stove either.
Okay. So there's value to be had here.
Yeah.
I think that he'll hit higher up in the Angel order. So he has the potential there. And so those are my values. And just to throw out there, my caution players, you mentioned Jeff McNeil. He's a caution to me. You know, I think he's, you know, he played 156 games and only hit 10 home runs. So that's a problem to me. And so I got him, and then I got Brandon Lau. The Tampa Bay Rays right here. He's not ranked in ESPN either, and that's a good reason why that is, because it's a long time ago since he hit home runs and everything else. He only played 109 games. I will have nothing whatever to do with Mr. Brandon Lau.
Yeah, so my cautionary tales, my guys that I'm not going to draft because I don't think their value is good on these guys, is Luis Arraez, Miami, and Gleyber Torres from the Yankees. Those are two guys that they're going to give you points and they're going to get you things. I just think they always get drafted too high. So for me, the value's not right for those guys. I will say this. I had got a text message from a friend who tunes in here and there, and he brought up Jose Caballero, second baseman, shortstop for Tampa. Did not play a ton of games last year, may have more opportunity this year, especially with Franco not being around. And just a guy to watch. He's not a draftable guy at this point, but he's a guy to put a flag on and keep an eye on for the first couple weeks of the season and see what kind of opportunity he gets. If he gets the opportunity, well, then there's a chance that he's going to get there and can be a valuable pickup for you on the waiver wire. He's a name that I will have marked and keep an eye on as the season gets going. And as we start talking about waiver wire pickups, once we get into the season, he's probably a name that I anticipate seeing within the first month as a guy that has some value at some point in time as well. Because you got to pay attention to those kinds of teams, Kev. Those Tampas who are having all kinds of changes with trades and legal issues and whatever. You got to know who's playing, filling in those spots now. And you got to, and Tampa has been a team who has produced value from guys you wouldn't think you're going to give you value.
That's right. Because, you know, my name's not Eric. And so I don't hold out disdain towards Tampa. So I think that you're onto something. Whoever you said emailed you that or texted you that, hey, good on you.
Let's give him credit. Brad Taylor, he hosts the Bottom Line Lexington radio show, ESPN Radio in Lexington. Shot me that information. So there you go. Give him a full shout out. But you mentioned Brandon Lau. And Tampa, he's one of the few Tampa players who doesn't have multi-position eligibility. A lot of the Tampa guys do, whether first and third, second and short, second and third, whatever it may be. There's a lot of Tampa just produces guys who play all over the field, so they get positional eligibility. And they're a good team to look at later in the draft for guys too. All right, let's close up the show,
Kevin. I agree with that 100%, but Brandon Lau, he's too fragile.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That's why they don't play him anywhere else but second base.
Yeah, not big on him. All right, we've gone over an hour, which we appreciate you. If you're still listening at this point, we thank you so much. All right, let's
bring it.
BellyUpFantasySports.com is the sponsor of our fantasy focus, and again, a big supporter of our program. We appreciate them very much. It is where you find all of Kevin's articles. Kevin, tell us what's on the stove right now for your fantasy articles.
Well, what's on the stove is you know, because a couple weeks ago we did first base, and I put out my first base values, but then you mentioned that there's new blood in the Belly Up fantasy world, and he said, hey, how about some tiers? Well, we just did first baseman, so I put out an article, first base tiers, and I put all the stats there, stats that make, you know, till your eyes bleed. And then I put down comments of why I put them in the tiers and what I expect out of them. So if you're, then there's going to be more of that to come. And so it's available right now. And it has like 9,000 views so far on Reddit. So, and I appreciate you guys out there on Reddit, because I get a lot of my, you know, constructive comments, you know, brought to me and questions and things like that. And I always appreciate that. So, you know, keep them coming. And you can catch me at X at Kevin62WILSEA. And any subjects open, just shoot it to me.
Next week, Kev, we're going to do the hot corner. We're going to go to third base. And then we'll do shortstops, and then we'll do outfielders. So that's kind of the way it's lining up for us right now. So next week will be third base rankings and tiers on this show, which will be next Sunday. Now the Sports Stove has a weird week this week. So no show tomorrow. Yeah, no show tomorrow. Sports Stove local hour. We'll have no program this week. I've got my last regular season basketball game for a high school team tomorrow night in Louisville. So we won't be around to do the show. And no show on Wednesday because I'm traveling Wednesday night down to Tennessee for a tournament, basketball tournament. So no, this is our last, the only Sports Stove show this week is this one right here. Next Sunday, though, we'll pick back up. The fantasy baseball show will be here with third base rankings. The local hour will be back next Monday, and the Sports Stove OG show will be back next Wednesday as well. And we're going to start getting into baseball on our Wednesday night shows. Me and Dad are going to start off with the West divisions, breaking down, looking at win totals and talking about the teams and things like that as well. And so a lot of baseball coming on the Sports Stove Wednesday show, as well as the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball show.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Because baseball is king right now. Nobody's paying attention to the NBA All-Star game. No one gives a rat's rear end about any of that stuff. So baseball, come and get it.
Yeah. So Wednesday nights, we're covering a lot of baseball. We're covering a lot of racing, NASCAR. Okay. We're also going to be covering some college basketball and NFL draft stuff as well. Over the next several weeks. So plenty to go around there. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Sports Stove there as well. Let's see here. So you need to go see bellyupfantasysports.com. Then you need something to eat while you're reading those articles. So you go to righteousfelon.com, order you some beef jerky, join the flavor revolution, use the code STOVE15, STOVE15 at checkout. And then after you read the article and you think, you know what, I want to go watch that second baseman play, I need to get tickets. Well, where do I go? SeatGeek.com. Use the code BELLYUPSPORTS. You get $20 off your purchase there at SeatGeek. And then we get you.
I'm also a client.
So there you go. Yeah.
I've used them in the past. Just don't use them to go see Peter Gabriel. That's all I'll say about that.
Okay. That's a story for another day, my friend. Yeah, all right. That's it for this edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Feel free to leave a comment on the tiers that we gave. Do you agree or disagree? Feel free to give us your thoughts on that as well. And we got our draft orders set. So looking forward to that. We'll start making fun of our fellow league members in the near future also. But thanks to Kevin. Thanks to SeatGeek, Righteous Felon, and Belly Up Fantasy Sports as well. Until next time. We'll see you around the Sports Stove.
Everybody have a great week.